Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9.
The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev.
Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would quieten our hearts and minds right now, that we might sit in your presence, that we might hear of your wonderful faithfulness to those who trust in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. William Carey, a name some of you might know, was just an ordinary man who once worked as a shoemaker in England. But deep in his heart, he felt a calling to go to India, a place that he'd never seen, that with people who spoke a language that he could not speak, to go and speak to people that he did not know about the good news of Jesus. At the time, many people thought it was impossible, even foolish, to go and become a missionary. But Carey chose to trust God in the unknown. In 1793, Carey took a step of faith and sailed from England to India. He didn't have a clear plan or a promise of success. Like Abraham, he left his home and followed God, simply believing that God would provide. He lived by faith and not by sight. Life in India for Carey was full of trials. His family faced sickness and loss and deep sadness. His wife became mentally ill. They lost one of their children while they were there. He also faced resistance from both the British government and the Indian government. Still, Carey held on to God's call and continued his work. He translated the Bible into several Indian languages and helped start schools. He did all this because he trusted God in the unknown and lived by faith. And because he trusted God in the unknown and because he lived by faith, Carey passed on the blessing that he had received to the people of India. His work brought education, hope, and the message of the good news of Jesus to the people of India. And to this day, Christians all around the world look up to Carey as an example of someone who served God faithfully. Like Abraham, Carey trusted God in the unknown. He lived by faith, even when he couldn't see any results, even when he didn't know whether it was going to be success or not. And because he trusted God with the unknown, he became a blessing to the people of India as he shared the good news of Jesus. But when we read about the account of people like Abraham and famous missionaries like William Carey, it's easy to go, well, that's okay for them. They were amazing examples of faithfulness. They were incredible men of faith. In some ways, it's fair to look at them like that. Not everybody who follows Jesus is called to leave their home country, leave their family, go to a place that they don't know, where people speak a language that they can't speak. But no matter who we are, no matter where we live, all those who trust in Jesus are called to trust God with the unknown, to live by faith, to be those who are blessed and pass that blessing on to others. Now, today's passage is one of the most pivotal passages in all of Scripture, because it is the first time we hear the good news of God's promise. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God was announcing his judgment on the serpent for deceiving Eve, God gave us a glimpse of hope. God said that even though Satan would strike at the descendants of Eve, God would raise up a descendant of Eve who would crush the serpent's head. And in today's passage, God is showing us how he is going to bring about this amazing act of salvation. Now, at this point in history, Abraham, was called Abram. So I'm going to do my best to refer to Abraham as Abram up until the scripture starts to call him Abraham. But I already apologize because I will make this mistake. In Hebrew, the name Abram means father, which must have felt like a cruel joke to someone whose wife was barren and who had no children of his own, children being incredibly important in that culture. But in today's passage, God is promising to take Abram and turn him into Abraham. In Hebrew, the word Abraham means father of multitudes. But before we get too far into God's promise, it's helpful for us to spend some time thinking about who Abram was before God called him out and called him to serve him. At the end of chapter 11 of Genesis, you can read about Abram's family line from Shem through to Abram. And in the account of Abram's family line, we read that Abram and his two brothers, Nahor and Haran, grew up in Ur of the Chaldeans. We don't hear any more about Haran because he passed away in Ur. This area, Ur, would later be known as Babylon in the Bible. We know it as southern Iraq these days. Unlike Noah in Genesis chapter 6, who was referred to as a righteous man, blameless among his people of his time, and he walked with God, Abram wasn't walking with God when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans. He was living among a people who worshipped false gods. And he and his father were among those who were worshipping these false gods. Now, more than 400 years later, Joshua says in Joshua chapter 24, verses 2 and 3, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants." God didn't give his promise to Abraham because he was special or because of anything he had done. After all, Abraham wasn't even worshipping the living God when he was called out by the one true and living God. But in his great mercy, God called Abram the same way that he calls anyone to follow him, while they're still living and in rebellion to him. And he gives them the faith to trust in his promise. Faith that enabled Abraham to trust God with the unknown. And God said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Now, when I left my hometown of Forbes and went off to Sydney to study, The thing that I missed the most about leaving and going to Sydney was the people that knew me. I used to love going into just about any shop in town and being called by my name. I used to like driving around town and having people that I knew wave to me. I was a local. People knew me. But in Sydney, no one knew me. No one cared who I was, and nobody knew whether they could trust me or not. But Abram wasn't just being asked to leave his homeland. He was being asked to leave the people that he had grown up with and the only culture that he had ever known. And on top of that, he was being asked to leave his father's household. Or in other words, he was being asked to leave his whole support network. Abram was being asked to trust God with the unknown. Trusting God with the unknown is one of the hardest things of being a follower of Jesus. And it's also one of the most countercultural things that we could ever possibly do. Abram's friends and family would have thought he was crazy. They would have had no way of understanding why he was doing what he was doing. But because Abram believed God's promise, he surrendered his unknown future to God and followed God's command to go. Abram was a man who not only trusted God with the unknown, but also a man who lived by faith. In verses 2 and 3, God says to Abram, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Now that is an incredibly amazing promise. But it's also a promise that required Abram to live by faith. Because humanly speaking, Abram knew that there were some really big obstacles in the way of God fulfilling this promise. Genesis chapter 11, verse 30 tells us that Sarai, who would later become Sarah, was barren and had no children of her own. On top of that, Abram was already 75 when he left Haran on their way to Canaan. It isn't hard to imagine Abram having doubts about whether God could really make his family line into a great nation. After all, he didn't have an heir of his own. His wife was barren, and he was getting older. And even if Abram had a descendant when God called him to go, there was still one really big problem, one really big obstacle to God's plan. And we read about that in verse 6, where we're told, "At that time, the Canaanites were in the land." Taking possession of the land that God had promised to give to Abram's descendants wasn't going to be easy. If they were going to receive the land that God wanted them to inherit, it wasn't just Abraham who was going to need to trust in God's promise. His descendants would need to be willing to trust God in the unknown, to live by faith, just like their father Abram. Despite all of these obstacles that Abram would have been well aware of, the faith that God had given to Abram enabled him to trust God's promise and live by faith rather than by what he could see or understand. Abram was a man who trusted God with the unknown and a man who lived by faith, but he was also a man who was called to pass on the blessing that he had received to others. God didn't promise Abram a land, a nation, and a blessing so that he could keep those things to himself. God promised to bless Abram so that he could bless all the nations of the earth through his family line. In fact, this is the only promise that is emphasized twice amongst God's promises here. In verse 2, God says that he will bless Abram, not so that he'll be rich and famous, or so that his wildest dreams will come true, but so that Abram will be a blessing to others. Then it says in verse 3 that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through Abram. God wasn't offering Abram a gospel of prosperity. Obey me, you'll be rich, happy, blessed, and have all your wildest dreams come true. Abram knew that what God was blessing him so that he might be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. The writer of Hebrews explains in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. By faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, by faith Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign land. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking for a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abram's hope was in God's promise. It wasn't in wealth or power. It wasn't in God's promise to bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him. His hope was in the good news that God was going to bless all the nations of the earth through him. Abram believed that God could restore Sarai's fertility. He believed that God was able to give his descendants the land of Canaan, despite the powerful Canaanite army being there. But his hope was in a promise far greater than that. Abram's hope was that God was going to use him to bless all the nations of the earth. Abram had come from a people who worshipped false gods, a people who had no meaning, no purpose in their lives. But now the one true and living God called Abram out of a culture without any hope so that they might have an eternal hope through faith in God's promise. The Gospel of Matthew starts with these words: a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it starts with those words because Jesus is the greater descendant of Abraham, the one who has fulfilled God's promise. He is the one whom God has blessed all the people of the earth through, with a way to have their relationship with God restored and be given the joy and hope of life beyond the grave. A blessing for all those who trust in God's promise, a promise that was fulfilled through Jesus. As the Apostle Paul explains in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, or in other words, children, and heirs according to the promise. When we have faith in Jesus, we inherit this wonderful promise. Now, of course, Abram would have had no way at all of possibly knowing how God was going to bring about this amazing plan of salvation. He couldn't have possibly known that some 2,000 years later, the Son of God would die on a Roman cross just outside of Jerusalem. But because Abram believed God's promise, Romans chapter 4, verse 3 tells us it was credited to him as righteousness. Or in other words, God forgave Abram's sins because Abram believed in God's plan of salvation. He didn't know how God was going to do it, but he trusted that God could do it and would do everything that he promised he would do. And through Abram, we have been blessed with the good news that God has fulfilled his promise through Jesus. Through Jesus' perfectly sinless life, his sacrificial death in our place, and the fact that Jesus raised him back to life again 3 days later as the first to rise from the grave. And Romans goes on to say in chapter 10, verse 9, that to receive this wonderful blessing, to become an heir of the promise, all we need to do is confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. We will be heirs of the promise. Today's passage is challenging everyone who trusts in Jesus to trust God in the unknown. And that is so much easier to say than it is to do. We all like to feel in control of our circumstances. We all like to have an idea of what's going to happen next. We like to plan and work out how something is going to take place. But God often calls us to be willing to pay the price of following him. And sometimes that will require us to take up our cross and follow him, as he allows us to go through circumstances that we would rather avoid, but circumstances that force us to rely on him. Often, trusting in God, trusting him in the unknown, puts us in circumstances where we are completely out of control, but where we know, where we are forced to recognize that God is always faithful to his promises, and he is always working things together, our circumstances together, for the good of those who love him. Today's passage is challenging all those who trust in Jesus to live by faith. Seeing all of the obstacles that are in the way of what we feel God has called us to do is something that is far easier than trusting God with our circumstances. It's easier to doubt that God will answer our prayers when he isn't answering them in the way that we want or in the time frame that we want. Abram knew that his wife was barren. He knew that he was getting older, and he knew that there was a powerful Canaanite army living in the land. But Abram trusted God's word before his circumstances changed, and lived by faith and not by sight. And today's passage is challenging those who trust in Jesus to pass on the blessing that they have received. Abram was blessed to be the one whom God would use to bless all the nations of the earth. And Abram didn't keep this good news to himself. We read in verse 5 that Abram took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had, and the people they acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Now, when you read those verses in English, it's easy to skip over them and go, well, they picked up some servants or slaves along the way. But the phrase, the people they acquired in Haran, is much more literally translated, the souls that they won in Haran, because the word used there, nephesh, literally means souls, and is never used of a servant or a slave. In other words, Abram wasn't keeping the good news of Jesus a secret. He was already beginning to share the good news of God's promise. He was actively blessing anyone who is willing to listen and believe in the good news, as he invited them to share in the blessings of the one true and living God. And like Abram, we have been blessed with the good news of God's plan of salvation, so that we might be a blessing, a blessed one who passes that blessing on to others. See, God's promise was always missional. It was never just about one nation. It was always about all the people of the earth. God didn't bless Abram so that he could become a great nation without any plan or purpose. God blessed Abram so that he could bless all the peoples of the earth. And like Abram, we have been blessed so that we can be a blessing to those we know and to those we don't. So who can we invite to share in the good news of what God has done for us through Jesus? How can we be a blessing to those around us? Let's trust God with the unknown. Let's remember that he is faithful to his promises. Let's be people who live by faith. And let's be blessed ones who pass that blessing, that wonderful good news of God's promise, on to others so that they too might experience the hope and life we do in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are faithful to your promises. We thank you that not one word you have ever spoken has ever failed. We thank you that you are faithful and just. And we thank you for the wonderful hope that you have given us through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, the fulfillment of your promise to Abram. Lord, we pray that you would help us to trust you in the unknown, when our circumstances are far beyond our control, to live by faith and to share this wonderful good news with whoever will listen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.